Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Compliance Week podcast. In this edition, we look at how Intel is tackling the challenge of conflict minerals in its products. The Consumer Electronics Show, held each January in Las Vegas, is a forum for electronics makers to unveil their latest products and technological advances. This year, Intel made a different kind of announcement. After years of effort, working with more than 60 smelters throughout its supply chain, it can now show that all of its microprocessors are free from conflict minerals. Tungsten, gold, tin, and tantalum mined in the Congo, and often financing violent militia groups. Disclosing the use of these materials is required under a rule issued by the Securities and Exchange Commission, with reporting deadlines approaching this spring. Gary Niekerk, Intel's Director of Corporate Citizenship, spoke to us about the CES announcement and what it took for his company to be conflict minerals free.
We reached a milestone. We were very excited to make that announcement at CES that the microprocessors that we manufacture are conflict free. And it's really the result of 4 to 5 years work and effort to reach that point. Because when we started down this path and we were given direction by Brian Krzanich, our CEO, he was actually the chief operating officer at the time. And he said, hey, I want to figure this out and get these minerals out of our supply chain. And we were like struck on how difficult that would be to actually do. At the time, there was no systems in place for any kind of tracking of minerals from mines through the supply chain. So over the next 4 or 5 years, we worked diligently as a company, traveling over to over 60 smelters in 20 different countries around the world, and working with our industry association to set up the systems and processes that we could reasonably assure with a high degree of confidence that the metals that we're using in our manufacturing and meant to make our microprocessors are not coming from the Democratic Republic of the Congo. And if they are coming from that country or that region, that there are systems in place to ensure that the sale of those minerals are not funding conflict in that region. So that was really the two kind of objectives when we started this. And we had to go through the smelters, because that became kind of a bottleneck in the process.
Niekerk elaborated on the smelter-focused approach Intel took and what challenges it had to overcome.
When we looked at our supply chain, we had tens of thousands of suppliers, and we first started down the approach of, you know, talk to your first-tier supplier, have them talk to the second tier, have them talk to the third tier, and have them, you know, ensure that they aren't getting these kind of minerals. We realized when we went down that path, we didn't get the results we needed, and it was going to take an extremely long time to work it that way. So we had this kind of crazy thought at the time to jump over the entire supply chain and go directly to the smelters. As it turns out, for our industry and the type of metals that we use, there's maybe a couple hundred smelters around the world. Well, that's a lot easier number to work on than tens of thousands of different suppliers. So we realized if we could get the smelters to go through some kind of compliance and inspection program and ensure that they were not adding to this conflict in the Congo, that then we could move our supply chain to utilize those smelters. And that was the simple premise and idea. Of course, you can imagine going to a smelter that you don't have a direct relationship with somewhere around the world, and we're talking about places like Malaysia and China, Indonesia, South America, Eastern Europe, I mean, literally all over the world. And going to these smelters and trying to convince them, this is all voluntary, to open up their books and allow us to do an audit of their incoming materials and where they ship them, so we could determine with some level of confidence that they're not, you know, sourcing from that region, or if they are sourcing, like I said, that they have the systems there to ensure that the funds from the sale of those minerals are not going to militia groups. That was quite an effort, and we started off originally kind of knocking on the first smelter by ourselves, Intel, and then later other companies joined us on this. And that's one of the reasons we made this announcement at the Consumer Electronics Show, is we want to make other companies aware of this and our effort. When it comes to tantalum, there's four metals, right? Tantalum, tin, tungsten, and gold. that are of concern. When it comes to tantalum, the Democratic Republic of the Congo produces between 15 and 20% of the world's supply. And the electronics industry is one of the largest users of tantalum. So when we first started with tantalum smelters, made a lot of sense. We had the most leverage. We purchased a lot of those materials. Then we moved on to these other metals, and that's where we hit much more challenges, because for tungsten, maybe 1 to 3% of the world's supply comes out of the Congo, so a very small amount. And the electronics industry uses very small amounts of tungsten. Most tungsten is used for bits, drill bits, and things like that used in mining industry. So when we knocked on the door of the tungsten smelters, it was, who are you guys? And you don't buy very much of this stuff from us. And once again, having more companies aware of this, more companies involved, more companies lining up to ask those questions, it helps move the issue forward.
What outreach or boots on the ground were needed to ensure that those smelters were truthful and that there were no weak links in the supply chain?
Yeah, so it's quite a Herculean challenge to do this, as you stated. And that's why Intel actually visited over 60 smelters ourselves. And we've sent people to the Congo region twice. We've had people on the ground there to try to understand it. We work a lot with NGOs, non-governmental organizations, who have expertise on this to help us figure this out. And as I said, we had to customize with our industry group an audit protocol and procedure for each of the metals, because they vary. We also worked with the World Gold Jewelry Council for gold and the London bullion market, because they had systems already that were in place because of money laundering. And so the gold industry had some pretty good systems in place. We tried to leverage off there. So we worked with industry groups. We worked with NGOs. We worked with State Department. In Indonesia, the tin industry there is heavily regulated by the government. So we contacted our U.S. State Department to help us get us access to the governmental officials in Indonesia so we could work with them on understanding the flow of tin and the processing tin of their smelters. We've also traveled several times to Indonesia to be at those smelters. So it took a lot of work with our industry partners, with Intel kind of driving this and getting more momentum. And now we do have the top kind of OEMs are heavily interested in this topic. We're talking about companies, Apples and HPs and Dells and Motorolas. They very much want products that are conflict-free too. Their products include more than just a microprocessor. And so they are asking their entire supply chain for conflict-free parts and what the companies are doing. And because we're part of that supply chain, we receive those letters from our customers asking for us, what are we doing and what progress we made. So there is momentum building in here. The electronics industry has done a lot. I think we're seeing more success there. Of course, if other industries get involved, aerospace, automotive, industrial tools, dye, those companies, it'll make it all easier, because if your customers are all asking for this, if you're a smelter and everybody you hear from that buys your metals ultimately is asking you, you know, about conflict-free, it does put more pressure and certainly is more of an incentive for those smelters to do this.
What advice does Niekerk have for companies that may not have the reach, influence, or resources Intel has as they try to eliminate these materials from their own supply chains or even identify them for disclosure requirements?
That's a good question, and it's important because it can be intimidating to even think about this, as you said, the complexities of the supply chain. So one of the things I think a company could do is go to the Electronics Industry Citizenship Coalition, or EICC, website. We have posted all kinds of information about our conflict-free smelter program. We list the smelters that have been certified through our audits as being conflict-free. So you can then ask your supply chain, do you use these smelters? Do you source from these smelters? What other smelters are you sourcing from? I mean, that's a very first step. Is first you need to identify, do you have these metals? And if you're a public company traded right on the stock exchange, you're going to have to do this as part of the SEC 1502 rule that you mentioned. So public companies are going to have to declare whether they use these minerals or not. But if you're a company, maybe a private company, or don't fall into that bucket, go to that EICC website, read through the materials on we've done, that are posted up there, that the industry's put up there. Look at the conflict-free smelter list, and then just start asking, your suppliers about do they have a program on sourcing from non-conflict regions? What kind of systems do they have in place? And I think the first thing you do is just have a dialogue. Once you understand if you use these metals, obviously, in your processing. And we've talked to companies, different companies, because Intel was doing this before there was any rule or any law, and like clothing companies. And they came to us and said, hey, we have the little eyelets on our shoes that are made out of metal, the zippers and the jackets that we sell. We're not sure where those metals come from and what the composition is, right? We never thought about it. We just went out and, ordered these different zippers and things and didn't think about it. So there's a lot of kind of thinking you need to do to about the type of metals you use and where they come from, and then have that dialogue with your suppliers and check out the EICC website.
What's next for Intel? How does it plan to maintain or expand its conflict-free initiative?
I think the work is not done here. So it's going to continue as we come out with new products that maybe use different supply chains that we're going to need to work to ensure that those remain conflict-free. I think getting the word out, we're trying to see how we can partner with some of the non-governmental organizations to get the word out more and get kind of activate citizens who want to be more involved in this issue. And I think we need to bring more companies to the table. And ultimately, the issue going on in the Democratic Republic of the Congo has been going on for over 2 decades. It's extremely complex, and not one company, thousands of miles away is going to solve this. It's really an issue that's going to take cooperation and action from governments, from non-governmental organizations, and industry. And by working together and trying to, take steps to improve the situation, hopefully over time things improve. I heard a report recently that the funding has been greatly reduced in the Congo to the militant groups from this. That was the Enough Project published that fairly recently. So we're encouraged that this is having a positive impact, but it's going to take a while and it's going to take a lot of diligence to continue to move it forward.
That was Gary Niekerk, Intel's Director of Corporate Citizenship, discussing Intel's conflict-free minerals initiatives. That's all for this edition. I'm Joe Mott, staff writer for Compliance Week. Thank you all for listening, and I hope you join us again next time.